Oh, man, where do I want to start? Someone mentioned her, said, hey, we've been getting out at 11:30. I said, not today. Not today. Woo. Praise the Lord. I'm doing something a little different today. I usually preach from my iPad, which is, but my battery's going bad. I don't know if it's cold weather out there or not, but whatever it is, so I'm going to try it. But if it goes bad, I got my Bible here. Obviously, we need our Bibles. But I want to say something too regarding our Family Wednesday Arts Night. Sign up to do something. Have your kids, if they can recite poetry or verses. This is not a stage production. We want our kids, I mean, to be able to inspire other kids. We want you as adults. Maybe you have something. Maybe you can recite all the books of the Bible, or maybe you can recite a whole chapter. We're after that. You know, that inspires and challenges others to say, well, you know, if they can do that, I can do that. Little Lexi, she's been working on her memory verses, because they have memory verses every week up here. Parents, if you don't know that, you should know that. They got memory verses, and they go through those, and they learn those. The Bible tells us to hide the Word of God in our heart. And how do you hide it in your heart? You memorize it. And so I'm terrible with addresses of stuff in the Bible. In other words, I can't tell you John 1, this. I'm terrible with that. But I know what's in the Bible. And if it seems off, I say, well, let me just go check that out. Just to make sure that someone's telling me something. You need to know God's word. And so I want you, look, if you sing, there's people in here. I see you on Facebook. I see grandkids and kids on Facebook playing instruments and stuff, and you ain't doing anything for the kingdom. I'd like for you to come and just show. We're not asking you to get up on stage and start playing in the worship band. We're just saying, hey, here's an opportunity to showcase what the talent God's given you, and so we really want you to be involved in that. So work with your kids, your grandkids, and look. If we've got one, if the only person stands here for my granddaughter, we're gonna do it. Amen. I know some of you have talents. I'd like to see Lindsay come play the piano. She's taking piano. She can come. She can do that on Wednesday. That'd be awesome. See, you don't have to come to this church. We just want to see you. So what has God done in your life? Because I can assure you this, if the church don't give them a platform to do their show their talents and anointings, the world will. The world's waiting on them. Just saying, the enemy is wanting to make kids and mom and dad is mad at church and at the pastor, at religious folks, so they'll leave. And he says, well, I welcome you just the way you are. Come on, somebody. It's better than what you're amening me. Amen. They don't. No, we're not signing up to sing. I might read to you, but I ain't singing nothing. Amen. About all you're going to get out of me is happy birthday, and that's about it. Amen. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles or your cell phones or tablets or whatever it is that you look up the Bible on, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. See, I'm so prepared today that I even brought some dirty glasses. Good Lord. Hallelujah. I got one of these right here. I'm going to... My breath can actually breathe down here. Out yonder, it'd freeze. It was so cold out there, y'all. I'm telling you, I was telling Jacob before church. We left here on Saturday, a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday, and when we got to Colorado Springs on Sunday evening, from that point to I got back down here, and you know the stuff we had here. It was like 14, 15 days that I had been below freezing. I told God, I do not. Don't send me to a cold place in eternity. I'm going to need to be where there's some heat. You hear me? I mean, I asked my dad a couple of days ago. I said, Dad, you got your long johns on. And if you know my dad, you know he's got his long johns on. I said, Dad, you got your long johns on? He said, son, you know I got my long johns on. My daddy doesn't put on long johns based on temperature. My dad puts on his long johns into September and takes them off into April. You hear what I'm saying? He's not going to be cold. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm getting myself. You know, I went to bed last night with a toboggan on my head. Just boom, right there. Felt good, too. Look stupid, but I wasn't looking at me last night laying in bed. All right? So, amen. Thinking about getting it now. In Acts chapter 10, while I was out on vacation, again, thank y'all so much for letting us recharge. It was amazing, I'm telling you. And while I was there, I didn't get a thing from the Lord. I didn't hear nothing from the Lord. Not one thing. I didn't. But boy, when I got back home, before I got in the rut of things, the Lord just began to download some things. And the first thing that he downloaded in me, I'm going to be preaching a series for the next 3 weeks on this topic, position makes the difference. Position makes a difference. And I've got three or four different passages of scripture that I want to show you on how and that position with God makes a difference in your life. God's never going to change. He's always the same God. He's the healer. He was a healer then. He's a healer now. He was a savior then. He's a savior now. He'll always be a savior. Nothing about God is going to change. His position is fixed. It's like a benchmark. When you measure, when they do surveying, where's Bobby at? Bobby is a benchmark. And they'll have a stake here and for a, is it a section of land? How far does this benchmark? Basically a section. Okay. Crazy farmers. And they can set up over this particular benchmark or stake or position, and everything measures from there to keep everything accurate. And that's the way God is. He's stationary. He's not moving. He doesn't have to reposition. It's you and I that need to position that'll make the difference, okay? And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse something another. It's all good. You need to read the whole book, the whole chapter of 10, but let's start it. Let's just start at verse 1. Can we do that? Can we just start at 1? Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now, we're talking about position makes a difference. Now, position, here's the definition of position. It's an act of placing or arranging. A point of view adopted to make a position or issue clear. In other words, it's your stance on something, your ideology on something, your position. So it's to the place, the act of placing or arranging. Another definition is to put in a certain position. How many of you hunt in here or have ever hunted? How many of you ever shot a gun? Okay. And so I'm not a big hunter. I have plenty of people in the church that supply with me with meat. Why do I want to hunt and spend the money? Amen. Come on, somebody. No need to reposition there. But when Ethan was little, I would take him hunting, and we had our first stand was like many of you, I suppose, was an open stand, and it was about a 4 foot by 4 foot, and it had a rail around it because he was young and he needed something to prop the gun on. And so we had this stand, and we had these deer would come out, and he would put, I would say, here's one, you know, and so he would put the gun up there, but we had limbs that would hang over. Now, you real hunters, y'all clear the lanes. Y'all go and spend money in the year to trim off the trees so you can get a good shot, cheater. You cheaters, that's what you are. You're cheating, okay? No, I'm kidding. And so to get in the right position for the deer, sometimes because of the limbs and the position and other things, he had to reposition. We were in the right spot. Come on, somebody. You're in the right spot, but sometimes you have to reposition to do or accomplish what you're out to do. And so in the deer stand, when the trees would be over, sometimes you had to move a little bit, but you had to be real quiet because you didn't want to spook off whatever you're hunting, right? And so you had to reposition a little bit so you could clearly see what you were shooting at through the scope. Amen? So in our Christian walk, If you're saved, you're in the right spot. You're in the right stand, if you will. But sometimes we have to reposition so we can clearly see what God wants to do in our lives. Come on, somebody. And so I want to talk to us about how to reposition and how position makes a difference. Because see, if we didn't cut the tree limbs, we would have to wait for Mother Nature to come, and when she would begin to wave the leaves, you'd have to get that shot in between that limb being in your sight and when it went up, and you'd have to be perfect. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching to you. And so we leave sometimes our Christian walk up to that same circumstance. We're just going to wait and let God undo some things. We're going to wait for the wind to blow so that I can see clearly every now and then. No, God wants you to see his plan for your life clearly all of the time. Amen. And so to do that, if you're going to be an effective hunter, you go out and you trim the limbs. Amen. That way you get real comfortable in your heated cabin with refrigerators and snacks. So you're really comfortable and you don't really have to move a lot. Not much repositioning. Just boom. Cheater. You're hiding. I can kill you if I hide from you long enough. You'll come around. Put some food out. Come on now. I'm picking on you hunters, but put some food out for all year long. And now you can't put it out when you're hunting. What? You can. Well, that's even worse. I wouldn't. Y'all don't say that. Don't tell me that. Yeah, I'm a hunter, boy. I'm a slayer. No, you're a feeder. Come on, I got a restaurant for animals. Come on, somebody. That's what we want God to do for us, though. Lord, we're going to come by and you just prepare everything for us and we'll show up. It doesn't work that way because the enemy key. So I want to talk to you about positioning. Verse 1, Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now, position makes the difference. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called of the Italian regiment. In other words, he was a Roman Gentile. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household. That's important. You didn't find a lot of Roman Gentiles that feared God and revered God. You didn't find that a whole lot. And the Bible clearly says that he was a devout man and one who feared God with his whole household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. In other words, he was a generous man. He wasn't greedy, and he loved God, and he prayed all the time. And he said, Lord, what do you want to do with me? What do you want to do with my finances? Boy, I struck a nerve. It got quiet up in here when you start talking about, Lord, I got my finances, Lord. You just saved my soul. Verse 3. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of a God coming in and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up before a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now listen, what is Cornelius doing? Number one, he's praying. If you want to position yourself so that God can use you or help you in a situation, you must be a prayer. Prayer. You must pray. No matter your circumstance, see, it didn't matter that he was a Roman Gentile, and as of yet, they were still exiled, so to speak. They hadn't really been brought into the fold. We're fixing to find that out in Acts chapter 10. They're still an unclean people. Come on. See, the devil's told some of you unclean because you ain't got it all together. But see, when you begin to pray and you seek God, guess what happens? God hears your prayers. God responds to your situation. This microphone's working on me. And he says in verse 5, he's been praying, and he gives specific instructions to Cornelius. How many of you sometimes would love for God to give you specific instructions on what to do, when to do, how to do it, and why to do it? Well, good luck with that. But he does give some specifics to Cornelius. He says this. He says, Cornelius, I want you to send some men to Joppa. So he gives him a specific city to go to. And he says, I want you to send for this Simon. Now, there was a lot of people named Simon back in the day. So he gave him not only Simon, because that'd be like coming in here and saying, how many Smiths do you have in the world? A bunch of them. Come on. So he says, so Simon, I want you to go ask for Simon, but not just any old Simon. Ask for Simon whose surname is Peter. Now, how did he get this information? He was praying. He had been praying. This wasn't the first time he prayed. Come on, somebody. First time we pray, we want God to move right now. This guy, he says that he was a prayer. We knew he was a prayer. He said he feared God. And he gave alms. In other words, he was about the poor. He was about the Father's business already. But this particular day he prayed because God had this great big plan that he was going to use Cornelius and Peter in. And he says, now go, this is cool. Verse 6. Now he tells him where he's staying. Go to Joppa. That's a pretty good. That'd be like, go to Greenville. Ask for Simon. Oh, his name's Peter. Oh, and let me tell you exactly where he's at. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Well, I mean, come on. This is like drawing you a map. I wanted God to draw me a map a few times, and it wasn't. It was a connect the dot. Y'all ever played that game? Yeah. That was before video games. We'd go on trips and we'd take whole sheets of paper and write dots all over them so we'd have something to do in the car. Amen. Now the worst thing happened to you is your battery died on your phone. And he is lodging with Simon, a tanner. See, there's another Simon. He's lodging with a guy named Simon, but be sure you ask for this Peter. He says, he's a tanner whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. When the angel of the Lord spoke to him, he had departed. Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And so when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, here's what you need to understand, that Cornelius wasn't broke, poor, and beat up and beat down. Cornelius had some servants, and he loved the Lord. The number one trickery in America for American people is, I've got stuff, I don't need God. I've got things, I don't need God. Come on, think of it. Look around right now. There's a lot of people not in church today because they don't need God. One day I was over here working on one of our houses, and I was complaining about a plumber not showing up. He'd been there a day or two and then was gone, and he wasn't showing up. And Jason came by, and he says, where's your plumber? And I said, well, he got busy over here doing this or whatever, and I don't really know. And he said, you know why he didn't come? I said, yeah, I just told you. He said, no, he didn't come because he didn't want to. And I got to thinking about that. Well, that's true. Because I was already paying him good money. He didn't come to my place because he didn't want to. If he'd have wanted to, he'd have come to my place and put them off. You know why people don't come to church? You know why people don't pray? Do you know why people don't position themselves to God? They don't want to. Well, the television program's too interesting to leave right now. I mean, God wants me to have my free time. Yeah, but he doesn't want you to have free time 8 hours a night when you're home after you get home from work until midnight till you go to bed. There's got to be some time for God. And so a lot of times we don't want to, but Cornelius, he wanted to. See, he was praying before God ever moved on him to use him mightily for the brand new church that was fixed to be developed. Well, you're going to see Cornelius was a big player. You only hear about him right here. But Cornelius was so instrumental. As a matter of fact, before the gospel came to the uncommon people, before it came to the Gentiles, before he spoke anything to the 12 disciples, he spoke to Cornelius because Cornelius had positioned himself to pray and seek God, and he feared God with all of his heart. Cornelius is overlooked, but Cornelius was a man of God. Cornelius wasn't after the fame game. Oh, if you can just use me in one little part, I'll do this, Lord. We hear about him in about nine verses, I think it is. Eight verses and a little bit in the other chapter. So you got about a chapter and a half of his name being mixed, and that's all you hear about Cornelius. It's amazing. If we just get ourselves out of the way and let God do what he wants to do in our lives and be okay with that, what could God do in your life? If you got out of the way and said, God, what do you want to do? Let's keep reading here. Peter sees a vision. Many of you know this. I like this part because we get to eat bacon. Come on, somebody. The next day as they went on their journey, now this is the men that left Cornelius' house, his servants and his soldier. He said the next day they went on their journey and they drew near the city. And Peter went up on a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Well, what's Peter doing? I'm telling you, position makes a difference. He says, I need to go pray about the sixth hour. He needs to go pray. So it's about noon. He got to go pray, okay? And he says, then he became very hungry. Amen, it's about lunch, okay? So we're talking about lunch, you know? And if I go pray around lunch, I can tell you what's going to be on my mind. I'm just like Peter. How long we got to be here, Lord, and what we going to have when we get done? Come on, somebody. He says, he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat. Well, praise God. Come on, if you read the Bible, it's good stuff. It's funny if you look at it, and it relates to you. And he wanted to eat, but while they made ready, in other words, they were down there cooking, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened up and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. So can you imagine this vision and a sheet being at four corners being let down, and you're in this trance on the top of a roof, and you're hungry. Now, most of the time when I'm hungry, can we be honest? When I get hungry, God really ain't on my mind. Praying ain't really on my mind other than, dear Lord, please let me get right into the restaurant so I don't have to wait because I'm so hungry. Come on, somebody. And he says, this sheet was let down in verse 12. It says, and in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And the voice came to him. Now, if your Bible's like mine, this is red. This is Jesus speaking. This is God right here. It says, and rise, Peter, kill and eat. Of course, old religious Peter said, but Peter said, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. See, back in the Jewish day, they had certain things they could eat if you were a Jew and certain things you couldn't do, and you had to be circumcised. Oh, you know the law, okay? And so Peter's pleading his case, Lord, I know this can't be you because you're asking me to do something that we, tradition says we have never done. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times. And the object was taken up into heaven again. When I was reading that, I said, look, that's me. He had to tell me sometime, two or three times, for me to get the idea of what he's wanting to get across. Can you imagine? Peter's hungry. He's in a trance. He's praying, and he wants to eat. And the Lord said, get him eat. And he said, oh, I can't eat that stuff, Lord. You know, that's outside my calling. I can't do that. I've never done that, Lord. We've never eaten anything unclean. I've never taught a class. I've never greeted. I've never ushered. I've never sang out loud in public. I'm a great singer, but no, I can't clean toilets. I can't witness for you, Lord. I've never done that. Come on, position makes the difference. Watch what happens. So we're talking about food. That's the context of those few verses right there. But watch how it changes, because God is God. Verse 17, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold the men who had been sent from Cornelius. Here's Cornelius again showing back up. See how the word of God, it's about Cornelius. Now it goes to Peter, and now we're back to Cornelius. What's the role of Cornelius? It's important when you read God's word. If you read it all together and you say, oh, let me go back and do a little research here. What is happening right here? See, God's positioning, or God's getting ready to use Cornelius because Cornelius had positioned himself to be used by God. God wants to use everybody in this room. Let me say it again because I don't think anybody heard it. God wants to use everybody in this room. Everyone in this room can be used by God to build the kingdom. I don't care what it is. You can be used, and God wants to use you. Amen. The biggest problem is we don't position ourselves to be used. Well, Pastor, you know, I give and I come to church. Okay. When's the last time you showed up to say, what can I do? And I want to do it, and I'm going to do it from here on out. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, I want to do this. And they do it about 3 weeks and say, that ain't really my calling. Well, I guarantee you can talk to any nursery worker, any of these busy bees up here, and their calling is not to wipe your little child's hind end when they had a bowel movement. Come on, somebody. It's like, Jesus moving me to another department. At least somewhere where they can use their own bathroom. Come on. Do you know we have that in the church? Yes. Amen. Hadn't had anybody volunteer for that one. So behold, these men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. In verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Peter positioned himself to hear from God. And when he needed to hear from God, when God spoke, he heard from him and he obeyed. These three men had already been sent. See, God sometimes is setting up stuff before you ever get in the picture. See, he was setting up, listen, hearing from Cornelius was praying and giving alms, and all of a sudden, because he positioned himself, he's hearing from God, and he sends three guys, and Peter don't know anything about it yet. 2 days later, come on, if you read the scripture, it took 4 days to make this round trip. He was Cornelius praying one day, and the next day he sent these guys. 2 days later, they show up at Peter's house, or Peter, where he's lodging. God sometimes is preparing and getting things ready, and you don't even know anything about it. And the reason we don't step into some of our callings and some of our anointings is because we stop short, because we want God to tell us everything about every move we're going to make, tell us when, the why, the hows, and the what fors. And God's not obligated to do that. Because if God did that, that would remove the element of faith in our lives. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Come on, this is good stuff. Verse 20, arise therefore and go down and go with them. He don't know these people from John Doe. I don't care how big you are and how physical you can be and how much of a good fighter and how many guns you got. Look, if you come up to my house and I don't know you, I'm not going with you. Come on, go with me. I don't think so, bud. Holler at me when you get you and then I will talk. So he's so listening to God that he says in verse 21, then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? Peter hadn't been let in on it yet. Come on, this is important. Positioning yourself to hear from God. Position makes a difference. He's just been praying. God spoke to him and when he was hungry about some animals, and he says, hey, there's three guys wanting. He don't know the story yet. There's three guys down there and I sent them, and when they get there, I want you to go with them. Huh? We're not going to do God that way. Well, that's not God. He's going to tell us. He loves us. He's going to give us our Jeremiah 29:11. He's got a plan, and he's going to let me in on the plan for my life. No. He may not let you in on the details. You may have to walk those details out. Come on, somebody. When my wife and I first started in ministry, we were doing nursery stuff and children's ministry and youth ministry, and she was a worship leader, and I became a men's leader. And I had no aspirations to ever be a pastor. And some of you said, yeah, you missed that calling too. And all this time, see, I had no dream. I never wanted to be a pastor, really. But God had a plan. I was just doing whatever he wanted me to do all along the way. You want me to clean the toilet? I'll clean the toilet. Oh, you want me to get there when people get mad at the pastor and they run them off? You want me to fill in? And I know I ain't never going to be the pastor at this particular church. You want me to fill in, cut the air on, let everybody gripe at you and you ain't getting paid? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. See, I do. What do you want to do, God? I'm going to be okay either way. What do you want to do, God? What are you going to do with me? I wish some of you start asking yourself that question. Lord, what are you going to do with me? I'm going to position myself in prayer and Bible reading and meditation and fasting and seeking the Lord and worship. Lord, what do you want to do with me? And then when you get your first step, start walking. Lord, I'm going to need more than one idea from you. I'm going to need you to give me a little more plan. God says, you move and I'll move. You step out by faith and then I'll show you what I can do. You're not immune from this. He done Abraham, the father of faith, the same way. Abram, I want you to get out of the land of your father and I want you to go to a place where I'll tell you. He didn't know where he was going. He just started out going and said, yes, Lord, gather up all you. Come on, I'm preaching better than your amen to me. And then verse 22, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man. Come on, here it is. A just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Y'all don't understand the impact of that scripture. Let me read it again. I'm going to put it in our language. Okay, you ready? And these three guys said, Cornelius, the heathen, the ex-prostitute, the ex-drunkard, the one that ain't always been right with God. Come on, that's the way Jews looked at people of the Gentile nation. They looked at them, no, they crazy, they unclean. I'm fixing to prove to you that they were unclean. They weren't supposed to, they weren't supposed to be around them religious folks. They ain't right yet. They hadn't been saved long enough. They hadn't got the tradition that we've got in the church. They're not religious enough. Praise God, they're not religious enough. That's why I like for John 3:16 to come down. They're not religious. They just know Jesus loves them, and Jesus set them free, and Jesus broke some chains. That's what they know. Amen. Praise God, they're not religious, staunch, stuck in their ways, and, well, God ain't going to move me, I ain't going to move. Well, then get used to sitting, because he's not going to kick you out of your seat. Hope you brought some donuts to sit on. And I'm not talking about the eating kind. Because you're going to be there a while. He says, this heathen. You know, the heathen, my heathen master sent us up here to you. And he fears God and he's of good reputation among the Jews. Among you religious folks, he's of good reputation. That's offensive to Peter. You don't understand. It's offensive to Peter. I'm going to show you in just a minute how offensive it was. Because Peter holds his tongue right now. But just in a minute, he lashes back at him. He gives him that punch. He says, then he, being Peter, invited them in and lodged there. Oh, my gosh. Now, we're sacrilegious now. We're off. We got to be excommunicated from the church now. He invited them in and lodged them, and on the next day, he spent the night with them. Oh, Lord. Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Position makes the difference. I hope you're getting this in verse 24. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius, oh, we're back to Cornelius, was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I want to say this. When God speaks to you, and you've been in prayer, and you've been fasting, you've been meditating, when God speaks to you, go ahead and prepare for whatever else God wants you to do when you don't even know it. See, he had sinned. God had spoke to him, and he said, guys, I need y'all to go get Peter. He got something to say to me. And what does he do? He prepares to receive what God had spoke to his heart about Peter going to tell him something. He don't know what it is yet. Sometimes we need to prepare in advance. How many of you are semi-preppers in the house? Semi-preppers, you know, you believe that you need 9 years worth of dried food and stuff and all that. Come on, it's okay. Yeah, look, I'm not a semi-prepper. I got stuff. I ain't gonna starve to death next week. Come on, this storm wasn't gonna bother me a whole lot. Come on, we go to that big old freezer we got back and pull out them dried beans and rice. You go pay for beans and rice down at the restaurant. Oh, that's all we got to eat. Come on, they good. They'll fill you up. They'll have that food right there will have people ask you to leave the room. Come on, somebody. Yeah, it's gonna get you. It's gonna go around the sanctuary in just a minute. Verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. In other words, Cornelius, he didn't know what Peter was really going to say, but he gathered some folks together. Look who he gathered together. He gathered some friends. There's another commentary. It says that he gathered his friends, his relatives. He gathered folks together because he knew that he had heard from God because he had positioned himself to hear from God. And he says, well, whatever God wants to tell us, I need everybody in my family to hear it. I'm telling you, Jesus wants everybody in your family to hear something. That he's coming back. He's coming back soon for a bride that is ready, that's without spot, without blemish. He's coming back. Read Psalms 83. Just go read Psalms 83 at home this afternoon, and you'll see that that prophetic word was for when the children of Israel were being split up around Babylon and the Roman Empire. But if you read it, you'll see it's exactly for what's happening right now in Israel. Psalms 83, go read it. Amen. Just go read it. You'll think, man, how could this be? Then in verse 28, then he said to them, you know how, here's Peter's jab at him. Then he said to him, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with you or go to one of another nation. That's his jab. You know I ain't supposed to be here because I'm of the religious people. You're unclean. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Uh-oh. We started out this common and unclean was talking about food. Come on. I like Jimmy Dean sausage. How many of y'all like Jimmy Dean sausage? That's all because of Peter. Glory to God, had a vision. But God is so awesome that he didn't stop with food. He didn't stop. See, if we'd have kept it the old way, if we'd have kept doing the same thing that always been done, only the Jews would have got to go. But Peter in this vision had a vision of what he could eat, but he also had a vision of humanity at the same time. This is how awesome God is, that this vision of humanity came to Peter, and Peter says these words. He says in verse 28, the latter part, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. The same two words that he used about food. Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Watch, this is awesome. You got me excited. Verse 29, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent me? So he shows up. He still don't know what he's there for. What reason? Why am I here? Peter's following me. I don't know why I'm going. I don't know why I showed up at this particular place. I don't know why I showed up at this person's house. I don't know why I'm here. But while I'm here, what do I need to do, Lord? Peter asked Cornelius, well, what do you want me to do? This is awesome. Verse 29, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed at my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. See, it's something, he positioned himself way before he got the notoriety and he got the note from God that he was going to be used. Some of us want to get a note from God that we're going to be used and get the attaboy stamp, get the star by our name before we ever move. And God works opposite of that. He was praying and seeking God by himself in his own house with nobody around, and God heard him. And he began to bless people, and he began to do good by people when nobody was looking, when nobody was watching, because the Bible says, hey, I've seen it. The Bible says the Lord had remembered it. Get busy about pleasing the Lord, not pleasing man, and you'll go a lot further in life. He said in verse 32, send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to you. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Peter said, I didn't come with a message. I didn't know I was going to preach. That's why you don't witness, because you didn't know you was going to preach today. You didn't know you was going to preach to that heathen that passed by you, works beside you on the assembly line, or comes in your store, or that you had to ride to work with. Oh, I didn't know I was going to preach. Yeah, you did. You quit lying. If you're a Christian, you get up every morning knowing you got to preach to somebody. You need to be preaching gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to somebody every day. Amen. If not, what are you here for? Oh, I know. Oh, look, bing, bing. Can I answer? Well, I'm just waiting on God to give me my calling so I can be in pulpit ministry. You don't want pulpit ministry. Amen. Glory to God. You don't want pulpit ministry. It's not that fun. It's rewarding, but it ain't that fun. If you're struggling to come to church, you don't want pulpit ministry. If you're struggling to come to church, you don't really want any ministry. I love you. Nothing like that changed when I was gone. Did you notice? I love you. Verse 34. My heading says preaching to Cornelius' household. Peter said, yes, I got to preach today. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. What is he saying? There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference between circumcision and uncircumcision, that God shows no partiality. Man, praise God, somebody ought to be clapping, woo, because you're a Gentile. Hey, boy, that's good news. But in every nation, whoever fears him, how many nations? Every nation. Whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. I think I'm going to pull a bird. I'm going to run around the church. You know that's talking about you? If you practice righteousness, he accepts you. What? Levi goes, remember what's that song you praise? The bear song. Going on a bear hunt. How many of you know that song? Got Loki. Going on a bear. Can't go over it. Can't go. Okay. And he sees the bear in the cave, and they say, what? Levi goes, what? So like some of you like, what? Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. That's talking about salvation. John's baptism is always referring to salvation. Don't ever get it fixed up with any other baptism. That the baptism simply means baptized into Christ. Not a baptism of water, not baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptized into Christ. Everybody knew that John, this weirdo, that walk around eating honeycomb and wild honey and all that stuff, and dressed up in all that funny garb, you know? That weird one. Everybody knew he preached John. He preached baptism of repentance. And that's what he's saying. Now, you know about the baptism of repentance because you hadn't been able to get there. Come on, this is what he's saying. You hadn't been able to get there because he was a Jew and you're not. But I like this.
how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Verse 40, and him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before God. Even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. In other words, the disciples. So if everybody says, I don't know about if he really showed himself to it. Well, read Acts chapter 10. He comes back. He shows himself to the disciples. He said, Peter said, we ate and drank with him. We know it was him. We heard his voice. We knew his voice because we had time with, oh, and we seen his hands and his side and his feet. Oh, it was him. Without question, it was him. He says, in verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and dead. Watch this. I love this. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Now, this is Peter's message. Oh, I thought it'd be more theological than this. I thought we'd have some props and it would be, you know, one of those illustrative messages to really do good. Most people look over this message, but do you understand this message, this 5, 6, 7 verse message changed the world. This message is why you and I can sit in a church house today and receive from Christ the remission of sins. This simple message that God was crucified and he was raised the third day and God empowered him. That message is why you and I have our trust and hope in Christ Jesus today. This simple message. And yet we overlook it and we run over it so fast. Where's the bacon? Verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words. Now watch this. If you tell me, I'm telling you the baptism in John's baptism was the baptism of salvation. Now watch this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Don't tell me for a second that the Holy Spirit is gone and that he ain't coming, that was for them, that you get everything at once. Well, not according to this. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of what? Of the circumcision who had believed were astonished. Those religious folks. You know, the church folks right here, that when we get someone to come into church that don't have a great past, and all of a sudden we discover that they got an anointing, a calling, a talent, and all of a sudden they're on the stage worshiping. Guess I'll call that preacher up and tell him, I know a few things about that fella. I know a few things about that girl. Hello? They ought not be up there. Well, I got a little news for you. The same blood that cleansed you cleansed them. It's just as powerful for those sinners as it is for the religious folks. As a matter of fact, I probably would rather have the non-religious than the religious folks. But at least they're up doing something. Come on, somebody. Verse 45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Oh, my Lord, we're having a church split. It's not going to happen in this church. My God, they've only been saved 3 weeks. How can they love God that much? We've been saved 40 years, and we don't do anything like that. We're having a deacon meeting and every other committee meeting in the church. We're going to blow a top. Why? Oh, I know. They exposed your laziness. They exposed your lack of fire for the Lord. They expose your the lack of desire to worship when they, oh, glory to God. and do all that. No, you may not have to do all that, but you don't know where God delivered them from. You don't know where they came from. You don't know how deep that pit was. You don't know how those chains were that they were bound with. So you let them worship how they want to worship. You can sit there in your bondage of religiosity if you will. Come on, somebody, because you in one if you don't want to worship. Woo! This one of them honey cranked a car. We may not be here long. Thanks for the vacation. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Right out the bat. Them crazy, Gentile, heathen, unclean, uncommon folk got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Just upset all them other folks that come with Peter. Peter says this. Then Peter answered in verse 46. Verse 47 says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? It's a question. Anybody here going to deny that they can be baptized? Well, I got a few reasons, preacher. You know, we used to ask the question when you'd marry people. Anybody object or, I forget the terminology, I hadn't used it. Anybody have a reason why that these two shouldn't be joined together? Who cares what you think? That's the way I feel. Well, you ought not let them be baptized. They need to prove themselves. And you're doing what? That's what I thought. Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. This is what the more unclean common folk said. They asked him to stay a few days. And y'all want to know what time we're getting out today? We're going to have a 3-day revival. Three days? And we're going to do 2 times on Sunday? And you want me to come every time? Preacher, you pushing it right there. I'm finna call a deacon meeting. We got to come to church 4 times in 4 days or 5 times, whatever it is, in 4 days. Mm-mm. My kids got homework. We got a ball game. You know it's hunting season, don't you, preacher? Yeah, I did. That's why I scheduled it, so I'd mess up your time. You wasn't coming no way. You wasn't coming. I don't mean to, I'm just messing with you. Look here, let me tell you this. I never plan a revival based on whether I think you're going to be here or not, because I don't know that. I plan it based on when I think the Lord wants to have it and when we can get the available evangelist. If you're offended otherwise, I'm sorry. I'm not offended that you don't come. It makes my heart heavy that you didn't come to receive. Because we don't have just blah, blah, preachers here. Amen. That's a bigger amen than your. Okay. I got to quit. I'm going to quit right here. Because I got 3 or 4 more weeks. I can then see that I didn't finish today, so I got 2 weeks on this and some more. Amen. Now I want to tell you this in closing. By Peter positioning himself to pray, and I put in parentheses in my notes, arranging his life to have time to pray. Okay? By Peter positioning himself, parentheses, by arranging his life to have time to pray. God sent him to some Gentiles, watch, against religious practice to present the gospel to them. To those that you say, well, they're not, they just ain't gonna come to Christ. By Peter's praying, he positioned himself and God sent him there. And this act of obedience set in motion the salvation and outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon billions of Gentiles. Over
Two people deciding, I'm going to position myself so that God can use me. Cornelius and Peter. Two of the most unlikely. One was a heathen Roman Gentile. And the other one was very boisterous and outlandish kind of person. And God used those two people to get the gospel to everyone sitting in this room today. Isn't that amazing? That is crazy good. Cornelius feared God. He gave alms to the poor. God heard, and Cornelius was visited by an angel of the Lord. How many of you are needed to be visited by an angel of the Lord? Oh, come on, somebody. You ain't never went through anything then. There's been times that I, can you come to the piano? Somebody come to the piano. There's been times in my life I needed to be visited. Oh, skip the angels. I need God himself to show up. Come on. I need God. Matter of fact, can the whole Trinity to show up? Because I that's how bad my need is. I just want you to know an angel of the Lord will suffice in your need. An angel of the Lord is more than enough. How am I going to get that in my life, Pastor? How do I hear from God? How do I get a visitation like Cornelius? How do I get a visitation, a vision like Peter to know God? How do I know? God, how do I hear from you in the middle of my anxiety attack at night? How do I hear from you in the middle of my fear when I'm awakened by the enemy and I can't breathe? And how do I hear from you when the bills are piling up at the door and I don't know what I'm going to do? How do I hear from you, God? If you get busy before you need God, seeking God and praying and meditating and worshiping God, I promise you, when you're in the middle of your battle, your greatest battle, and you cry out to God, he'll hear you and he'll visit you with a holy angel of God. He'll give you clear direction. He'll soothe your peace. Calmness will come into your life. I deal with it all the time. I was telling some of the guys before church today as we sit and visit. I was at a minister's meeting in Little Rock, Arkansas a few years ago. And one of our the district superintendent was at one end and I happened to be at the other. There's about 10 or 12, 8 or 10 ministers there around this table. And we were talking about all things that pastors go through and ministers, and we got on the topic of physical health, mental health, that kind of stuff. And our district superintendent at that time said, what do you do if you're constantly awakened at night and you know it's not God? Because, you know, there's several things wake up at night and not be God. One, your bladder. Come on, somebody. That ain't got nothing to do with God or Satan. It's just your bladder. But you can be awakened at night and it can be the devil. God's not always waking you up at night. And so he asked that question and he threw the question right to me. Marty, what do you do? You go first. Well, I'm so simple. I said, well, I just start praying. Our district superintendent said, that's a great idea. I said, here's why I pray, because if I realize that it's not God that's waking in me, it's not my bladder, it's Satan, and you'll know if it's Satan waking you. Fear and anxiety and a rush comes over you, you know it's not God. I begin to pray, and I begin to worship. Listen, in my bed, God, I thank you, Lord. I know this spirit didn't come from you, because you give me a spirit of love, power, and sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. Lord, I know this is not from you. And I begin to think about God and his goodness, and I begin to worship him. I told this group of people, I said, you do that night after night, the devil will quit waking you up. Because he wants to praise, not God. And if you begin to praise him, he'll say, that nut's going to wake up and start praising God. Let's just let him sleep. Come on. How do I know that? Because the times when I wasn't awakened by that demonic spirit, I worshiped God and I prayed and I sought God, Mike, before that moment. so that I could, number one, recognize the difference between the demonic spirit and the spirit of the Lord. And some of you need to get on that level. Not everything's God, not everything's the devil. Come on, somebody. But I'd been doing that for years. Had God's word in your heart. Most of you are not going to get up in the middle of the night and start reading God's word. Just start quoting some scriptures that you know. Psalms 23. For the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Woo! Come on. It makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm telling you, you start quoting God's word and the devil shuts up and leaves. He can't stand it. He hates it when you know God's word. But how do you position yourself to hear from God? It is before the battle takes place. Read in the Old Testament. Anytime it was, the positioning took place before the battle. Gideon, David. I'm going to preach about David in a couple of weeks. How he positioned himself before the battle. Not during the battle. Not because there was a battle. Because he loved God. His focus was on God first. Position makes the difference. Will you stand with me across this building? Position makes the difference. Hallelujah. Father, I have preached what I believe you have laid on my heart today. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit, Lord, has reached and touched people in this auditorium today. Lord, it has challenged us to position ourselves in alignment with you. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing right here in this house right now. I sense the Holy Ghost in this place. Boy, he's dealing with some hearts right now. He's dealing with some minds. He's dealing with some situations in your life. He's bringing, is what I see in my spirit right now. He's turning a spotlight on some things in your life that he's saying, you need to reposition. It's clouding your view of me. It's in the way. You can't clearly see me. Lord, illuminate those things in people's lives right now. You know what they are, Lord. Illuminate them and let them see. Illuminate them, Lord. Come on, saints. Somebody needs to help me pray that right. Lord, illuminate everything in my life. Illuminate those things that keep me from clearly seeing you, clearly positioning myself for you. Because, God, I know you got some great things in 2024. Oh, God, help us. God, help us metaphorically, I guess, Lord, is trim the shooting lanes, if you will, God, so we can clearly see where you're taking us, where you want to take us, Lord. Lord, show us those things that are unclean. Show us those things, God, that need to be removed so that we can hear you before the battle. Thank you, Lord. Hands lifted all over this building. All over this building. Pastor, I need prayer. Keep your hands up all and just begin to worship the Lord. Pastor, I need prayer. I want you to make your way to this altar right now. I want you to begin to get out of your seat. Come down these aisles. We're going to have people meet you and we're going to pray with you. Come. Will you come right now? Come right now. Pastor, I just need to see a clear vision. Look, you don't have to spill all your beans to me. You just come right here. We're going to pray with you. I know the Holy Spirit is dealing with some people right now. Well, I sense it in my heart. The Holy Spirit's dealing with people right now. Yes. I need some ladies. Come right here. I need some ladies. Come right here. Miss Fonda, I need you to come over here. I need to get right here. I need some ladies right here. I need some Latina. Come on. I need some ladies praying right here. Come on. There are others. There's so many others in this room. There's so many others in this room. Pastor, I got something in my spirit, in my mind. I can't turn loose of it. It's something that in the past, I can't, it just hinders me. It holds me up. If that's you, I want you to come. God wants to speak clearly to you. You already know what it is.
You don't need a word of knowledge for me to tell you what it is you already know. I want you to come. I want you to come. Let us pray with you. I ask you, let us pray with you. We serve the God that is a chain breaker. He breaks strongholds. He'll not only baptize you in Christ, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That you can overcome every device of the enemy. Will you come? I'm gonna wait a minute more. Will you come? I know there's others. I know there's others. Will you come? Lord, I want to see you clearly. Lord, my focus has been blurred by relationships. My focus is clouded by some things I've been doing. My focus is become murred. It's murky. I can't see. I can't hear you because of this thing. And I want to give it to you today. Will you come? Whatever it is, I want you to come to these altars. And I'm fixing to pray for people. I want you to come to these altars. Whatever it is, bring it right now and leave it. Leave it. You're not going to leave with it. You're not going to take it back. You're not going to pick it up when you leave. You're not going to get halfway back to your seat and turn around and come back and get it. No, you're going to leave it at the feet of Jesus this morning. I need some more ladies praying over here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him, church. God's doing something here. God's breaking some things off some people this morning. Father, I thank you. I want you to come. If there's others, I want you to come. I want you to come. I'm going to begin to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you.